Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Lift up your head, child of God, the redemption draweth nigh. Our Lord is soon going to appear, and we'll be out of here. Oh, thank you this morning so much for tuning us in. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and this is the Redemption Time broadcast coming to you out of Knoxville, Tennessee. And we appreciate so much each one of you that has taken time to listen this morning. I appreciate so much the opportunity that we have to be on the radio and the blessings of God that makes it possible. And just trust that you're being blessed by this broadcast. And we just want to be a blessing and get the gospel out as to many folks as we possibly can. Now, let me give you my church announcements. There where I belong, that's the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, located on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We give you a cordial invitation to come and be with us on Sunday morning starting at 9:45. That's when we begin our Sunday school. Then at 10:45, we begin our morning worship. And then on Sunday evening at 6, and on Wednesday evening at 7. And we invite you to come and be part of us. We are an old-fashioned Baptist church. We believe in preaching the book, the blessed hope, and the blood. And if you are looking for a church like that, then we invite you to come and sit with us. Now, if you're in a church that doesn't believe those three things, you ought to be looking for another church, one that does. And so we just invite you to come. We'll treat you good. We'll love you. We'll make you part of us if you want to be. All right, now we're going to have a song, and then I'll be back with today's message. Still continuing our message on the memorials at Gilgal, and we're going to be here for a while. This series is a little lengthy, but it's been a blessing to me, and I hope it will be to you.
You may not find rest for your weary soul. Your burden.
round every bend, there's a promise just waiting. If you miss it, you'll have to step over God's grace. Down every road, round every bend, there's a promise just waiting.
Well, there you have the Joy Heirs singing You'll Have to Step Over God's Grace. And certainly, dear friend, if you miss heaven, if you miss the Savior, you're going to have to step over a lot of things to go to hell. You're going to have to step over the blood of Jesus, the messengers that have sent messages your way, the times that the Holy Spirit has knocked on your heart's door, and all of the times that people have tried to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ and you would not respond. Friends, you're going to have to go around every one of those to get to hell, and yet so many people do that. I just want to encourage you, friend, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, if you've never come to realize you're lost, ask Him to save you and been saved by His marvelous grace. I pray that today will be the day that you'll do that. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the day and for the opportunity to be on the broadcast and for each one that's listening. Lord, I pray that today something will be said on this broadcast that will bless the heart of those that need to be blessed and break the hearts of those that need to be broken. Lord, I pray that there's a stubborn will out there that You're dealing with that has not given up, that this will be the day they'll throw their towel in and say, okay, Lord, I give up. You win, I'll come to You and just cast myself upon You and believe that Your grace is good enough and big enough to save even me. Thank You for the day I realized that, Lord, that it was even for me who meant nothing, who was nothing, and yet You took me and made something of me. Lord, I pray today now that You'll bless each one that's listening. Whatever the need is, You know what it is. Salvation, most of all, Lord, if there's one out there close to eternity, would You just save them before it's too late? Lord, I pray for those that are sick and suffering in different situations, maybe in distress. Pray, Lord, You'll bless them and help them. We're just needy creatures, Lord, to just depend upon You. And Lord, today I want You to take this broadcast and use it for Your glory. All that You do, we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, continuing our series on the crossing of Jordan at Gilgal and the camp that was there and the memorials that God had told Joshua to set up, we want to continue this series. And today I have read to you several times my springboard scriptures out of Joshua chapters 3 and 4, how that they crossed over Jordan at a flooded stage. And how that the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark that represented the presence of God with Israel, had gone before them, and they had followed it. Last week we were looking at their resources that Israel had as they crossed over into this new aspect of their journey. And the first resource that we talked about was the presence of God, that being the Ark, that had gone before them. When the priests that were carrying the ark stepped into the River Jordan, the water stopped flowing, he rose up on a heap, and they went through on dry ground. So then, the next thing I want us to look at not only is talking about the resource of the presence of God being the ark, but we also want to look next at the preparations that they were told to make. Now, Joshua had told them the preparation. First one, there was three of them that we want to talk about. And the first one was that they sanctify themselves. And we went back and looked at this last time. And we did cover that pretty good, how that they had to clear out the strange gods. And, friend, today You may not even be saved today. You may think, well, I don't have a strange God. I don't have a God at all. Yeah, well, everybody's got one. It's just that not everybody recognizes that that's what it is. If you're a saved person today and there's something in your life that's hindering you from doing the will of God, then that is your God. If you are not saved and you have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then whatever it is that's keeping you from coming to God and through the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Him as your Savior and being born again, that is the God that has replaced the God that would save you. So clear out the old gods. That's what we have to do. That's what they were to do there at Gilgal before they went into the land of victory. And then the next thing was that they cleaned themselves. That's a very interesting word about cleaning themselves. Let me notice that over in the book of John, and the Gospel of John, that is, we find in chapter number 13 and verse number 10, there's a conversation going on here. And what had happened was Jesus had come into the room where they were at, and there he had laid aside his garments, and he tied a towel around himself, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And this was symbolic of something, although at the time they might not have grasped it. But when he came to Peter, Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And in chapter 13, verse number 10, here was what Jesus said to him. Jesus saith, he told Peter, he said, Peter, if I don't wash you, then you have no part with me. And then Peter said, well, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And then Jesus said something to him that said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. That but not all, of course, speaks of Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. But what's he saying to Peter? He is saying to Peter, there's two different words there that is used. And when he said the word wash, he's talking about referring to the custom that when someone entered the house as a guest, there would be water there, and they would offer it to those guests to wash their feet. And this was used for a couple of different ways. It was a comfort, and it was an amenity. It was a welcome. It was something nice that they did for visitors, because in walking in the roads, they would get their feet dusty, and they would be hot and tired, and so they would let them wash their feet to refresh themselves and to get the dust of the trail off their feet. It was also there because in those days when you went to the bathhouse, you went to a central bathhouse someplace. You didn't have the bathhouse in your house as we do today. They had to go to a public bathhouse. And there, after they had taken a bath, they would walk back home, and there, as they arrived home, they would wash their feet because their feet had gotten dusty coming from the bathhouse to their own home. And so what the two words that Jesus played on here was, when he said, if I wash thee not, you have not part with me, then that was talking about the custom of washing one's feet upon the entering of someone's house. But then when Peter said what he did, wash my head and my hands, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that is washed doesn't need to be washed. He just needs he's just basically saying you don't need to be washed all over. Well, those two words, wash, referring to the feet, and then washed refers to taking an all-over bath. And so here is the thing about all of this. He's playing on the words there, but what he's talking about is this. When we're saved, we are washed whole, completely. We are cleansed of our sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you talk about being washed in the blood. What that simply means is that because of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, our sins have been washed away. Our sins have been cleansed. Our sins have been removed, and God does not remember them anymore. And then this thing about washing the feet has a spiritual meaning that as you and I walk through this world, our feet get kind of dirty with the things that we have to track through. There's things in this world that just naturally is a pollutant, and as we walk through it, I'm afraid that we do get mixed up, and sometimes some of this stuff gets rubbed off on us, and we have to once in a while go and be cleansed of that. Let the Lord Jesus Christ wash us up again. Now, I'm not talking about being saved again. I'm not talking about being lost and being washed all over again. Because Jesus said if you're washed, you don't need that again. You just need your feet washed. And so we do know that as we go through this world, we do get polluted by the things of the world. And therefore, Jesus has to clean us up once in a while to help us keep going on the right path. Let me share something with you from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. And beginning with verse number 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So what are we saying? We're saying that Jesus, through the water of the Word, he cleanses us daily of the things that would beset us, of the things that would pollute us, and through his Word. It plainly there says, through his Word, and we do know that water is a symbol of his Word in biblical spiritual things, and so it's through the Word of God that we get cleaned up. It's the Word of God that gets us washed all over, because the Bible said that God had chosen the foolishness of preaching whereby men might be saved. And if you're not preaching the Word of God, you're not preaching that which will save people. But through the water of the Word, people are saved, their souls are cleansed, their sins are washed away, and they are washed in the blood of the Lamb. But not only that, as we go through this world and as things come up and we have things that would beset us, things that would dirty our feet, so to speak, spiritually, then it's the Word, and it's the abiding in the Word and obeying the Word that will clean us up day to day, and keep us on the right path and keep us clean and spotless, waiting and hoping for that blessed hope, that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who one day will step out of the portals of glory. They'll blow the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us who remain will be caught up together with them. We'll be changed in an instant. In the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling is not a blink, friend. It is no more than a twinkle. It is the smallest amount of time that you can break time down into and it still be time. It's the same word from which we get our word atom. The smallest particle known to man is an atom of something. And so that's exactly what that word twinkling means. And when that happens, my friend, we want to be spotless. We want all things under the blood. We want everything washed up by the Word of God. We want to be clean and ready to meet our bridegroom when he comes. and calls us out of here. So washing of the water by the word. It's what it takes, folks. If we want to be clean, if we want to be ready for Jesus, we got to stay washed up by his word. So that covers the resources that they had. It's the same resources we have today. Now, we don't necessarily follow the Ark of the Covenant because we don't have it. We're not Israel. And yet we do follow the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The presence of God in the person of Christ living in us in the person of the Holy Ghost. And that is what we must follow, and we must do these things. Then the next thing I want us to notice, not only their resources, but look at the remembrances that they're talking about. If you remember, we read to you in your hearing a couple of times about how that when they went across Jordan, he instructed 12 men to pick up a big stone out of the middle of the water and take it to the other side with them. And then he also had them to set 12 stones up in the river and leave them there. And so when the waters came rushing back in, those waters covered those stones underwater, so they were no longer seen. And then later on, they took them back to their camp at first, but later on, Joshua told them, under instruction from God, to set those stones upright and to put them there, and I'm sure they're by the crossing of Jordan, right where they came across, so that the future generations could see and remember what God had done for them right there. So what do these stones represent? Well, first of all, I'd like to say that they were stones that represent a rescue. If you think about those stones that were brought out of the river. These were stones that had been covered by those waters ever since creation. It had never seen the light of day. They'd never felt the warm sunshine upon them. They were instead under the waters of the rushing waters of the River Jordan, and there they had been there all time. And they had been underneath. And yet they had been rescued, picked up, and taken out. They were stones of rescue. Friend, can I say to you today that in the natural state that we were born, we are living under the rushing waters of sin, the rushing waters of defeat, and the rushing waters that will eventually involve and come to the judgment of God in eternity. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a judgment that will condemn us to eternity in a place called hell. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people deny it. A lot of people diminish it. And it's not popular. And I don't necessarily like to say that. But can I just tell you that that's the truth? And if I don't tell you the truth, then your blood's on my hands. But I'm telling you that that's the truth, and that these stones were stones of rescue. And can I say to you today that just like those stones were picked up and taken out of the River Jordan, out of those rushing waters, they were rescued and taken out and put into a totally new environment. Friend, I want to tell you that God is just waiting today to lift you out from under that burden that you carry, that burden of defeat, that burden of sin, that burden of guilt and shame, that burden of the life that you have wasted. The Lord Jesus Christ gave everything he had in order to redeem you from that and to rescue you. You say, I don't need to be rescued. Oh, yes, you do. If you're not saved, you need to be rescued because you are in a precarious situation. The only way that you can get out of that situation is to come to Jesus and be saved. He's offering himself to you today, And God sent him here just for that one purpose, was to save lost humanity. And therefore, he had, did come to rescue men and women, boys and girls. And not only did he come to rescue, but they were stones of rescue. But also, they were stones of resurrection. They were, you see, those, can I go back just a minute? Those stones that were stones of resurrection, they could never have been salvaged anyway unless someone came and picked them up where they were and carried them out. You know, folks, I couldn't go where Jesus was. I just wasn't fit. I was a sinner. I was lost. No way that I could go to where he was. But I'm glad he came to where I was, and he picked me up, and he took me out of that environment, and he placed me in a new environment. He made a new creature out of me. He didn't salvage the old man. He made a new one. He rescued me from the waters of judgment, from the waters of sin, from the waters of defeat. Let me say to you again that no matter which way you view the Jordan crossing, then you must be lifted up and carried out. You can't do it yourself. If you are saved and you want to enter that land of victory and have victory over the flesh and over sin and over the world, you can't lift yourself up to that level. Someone's got to do that for you. And Jesus, through the Holy Ghost in your life, indwelling you, can do that. He can rescue you. But not only were they stones of rescue, but they were stones of resurrection. They were set upright. And they're not still laying on the bottom, battered by rushing currents. No, they're now out of that. No passing debris can wash against them and bruise them or chip them. My friend, they're out of the stream. They've been removed. I'm thankful that God removed me one day from the list of sinners that was slated for hell and put me on a new path and gave me a new environment, gave me a new nature. I still have to fight the old one, but he gave me a new one. And I'm so thankful today that he did resurrect me to a new life in Christ Jesus. And then can I say also that not only that, but they are secure. As of 2021, it was understood that those memorials were still standing there by the river as a remembrance of what they did. And so what was this? They're also stones of reminders, and we'll get into that next time. For now, we're going to close the broadcast out. We've got about a little over a minute left. I just want to give you one more time. So, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, born into a virgin in a stable, lived a perfect life, fulfilled his Father's will to the very every jot and every tittle. He crossed every T, he dotted every I, he fulfilled everything he was supposed to do, and there on the cross of Calvary he died. Today, if you come to him and ask him, he'll save you. I promise you that on the authority of God's word, and God's word is true. Now we're going to close out by giving you my contact. If you'd like to text me, if you have a question, if you have a prayer request, comment, you could text me at 865-776-5872, and I'd be happy to respond. Now may God bless you until next week. May the Lord keep you safe and in his will. Listen again next week for the Lord's willing for us to be here.